Friends Universe podcast, after a long hiatus, we are back. I would make excuses, but really it's just saying that life happened, and we appreciate your persistence in staying with us. Damien and Corey have joined me today. Corey is no longer in a majestic Midwest city doing work.
That's true. I'm back home on a Wednesday night.
And Damien has taken a break from his schoolwork to join us tonight.
It's great to be back, gentlemen.
Real great. Well, we sit a few days from the wonderful trading deadline, the best trading deadline in all of sports, really, in my opinion. I'm the weird one that thinks soccer comes close, but we'll just stray away from that topic. Yeah, I know. Off the wall there. And we also sit basking in the glory of a 2-0 victory over the rival Rangers. We'll just start there, Corey. Your review of the Rangers game, the 2-0 victory.
It was a thing of beauty, really. I mean, I think it was the best game that the Pens have played all year, and it could not have come at a better time. Playing at a divisional team at home, and it just looked like everything was clicking. And, you know, I think down the stretch, you know, with like 25-some, 30-some games that we got left here in the season, these divisional games are becoming more and more 2 points needed, especially with, you know, 3 other teams in your division right now above you in the points. So it was good. I enjoyed seeing the Rangers lose and get shut out.
What about you, Damien?
Well, I actually didn't really have a chance to watch the whole game. I was knee-deep in HTML tables last night. But I, you know, just from all the commentary, because of course I was on Twitter last night, and, you know, I'm looking at the stats and whatnot, just hearing the performance of Fleury and you know, him tying Barrasso with the 22 shutouts. You know, it just sounded like the Penguins just played one solid hockey game with respect to not only goaltending, but even defense. It's the first time I heard Paul Martin's name raised as in a good way for I don't know how long, at least a month or so. So that was good to see in that note. And, you know, just the atmosphere sounded really great. And that's exactly the type of hockey that the Penguins need to be playing, at least down the stretch, especially against the arguably one of the best teams in the league at the moment.
Yeah, I got to say, I was very surprised on the Geno goal that he was able to wait out Lundqvist on that. And starting to become a believer of Matt Cook being on the first power play unit somehow, some way, because it seems like he finds a way to get in front of the goalie's face better than most on the team, but... could be biased, I'm not sure. At the same time, it's good to have Kunitz kind of be able to get to pucks in the corner that are loose, which he does better than Cook would. But yeah, it was a good game. It was interesting to realize that the Pens had possession in the game in the first period for 2 full shifts, pretty much. And the crowd finally realized that would be a good time to cheer, so that was nice. I enjoyed that. But so since we've been gone about a month now, I guess, you know, we're not going to try to recap everything we haven't talked about or what have you. But, Damien, if there's a player that's impressed you the most over the last month, if you want to say if Kenny Malkin, you can. But is there one certain person you've been impressed with over the last month over anybody else on the team?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say that Gino's impressed you because he's just been playing, you know, that type of hockey that we've been past, you know, year or so, year and a half, really, after the cup year, we just didn't see that same Geno, and here we see him leading the league, not just the team, in points. So that's just impressive to begin with. I think that's even something we said, you know, maybe a little over a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, as he started coming back and really playing some good hockey. We were like, well, this is finally it. And can you really be impressed with the best player? I suppose he can, but at the same time, you know, I'm just impressed with James Neal. I mean, we started off this season. I started off on the entirely skeptical side, and I'm just delighted to see him get his 30th point, and just playing some really, really good hockey. And for that matter, I'm impressed with Chris Kunitz, who has also been able to adjust playing with those two guys when, in fact, he's used to playing at Crosby, and it's just a completely different style. So that's good to see Kunitz really, maintain some ability to be adapt to different types of hockey styles and whatnot. I mean, the system itself is obviously the same, but just, different players, it's hard to mesh with everybody, and Kunitz seems to have this ability to mesh. And if you remember correctly, he also had a really good time with Stahl when they first got traded over to the league, or to the team. So, it seems like he has a really good ability to adapt, and it's just good to see as well, to see him get some good continuity with those two guys.
Yeah, Corey, is there any player in particular you've kind of singled out over the last month?
This is probably going to surprise you. I mean, it's not a big name like a Malkin, a Neal, or, a top two offensive line guy. I've been really impressed with Derek Englund. He's a guy that you don't typically expect up on the score sheet, perhaps, maybe for penalty minutes, but, he's got 13 points on the year. He's been getting some, big-time goals. The three that he's had, they've come in, pretty handy in those games. And he just seems to be he seems to have a different mindset. And I think it's kind of similar to, I think, this trend in the league right now where guys who typically were the enforcers last year, they've had to adjust their game. And it's either, kind of adapt or fall off, like Steve McIntyre. And I think England has done, a well enough job for not being a point skater down on the blue line to get some timely points and, play some good defense. And he's a guy that's been turning my head.
Yeah, it's. I think that's, a good choice for sure. It's hard to say. I think with the way the first line's been producing, and it's been hard to kind of take your eyes off of them. I do say that, this is the obvious thing, but since Stahl's been back, obviously he's been pretty impressive. But, one thing that's kind of concerned me is somewhat the lack of scoring from the other lines. And, we've seen in true Bosma fashion that the lines after a power play or what have you are pretty much, mishmash, and you're never sure who you're going to get. But secondary scoring, an issue down the road or not? Corey, what do you think?
Yes and no, I think. right now, you're getting timely goals, but that's just it. They're timely. I don't think it's a situation where you got guys, maybe contributing as much as what they could be, and, the point totals are getting overshadowed by Malkin and Neal. But I think you got to hope that, those two can continue the pace they're on. But you also kind of want to hope that some of these other guys can start, putting pucks behind the net too.
Yeah. What do you think, Damien?
I mean, there's a need for it without a doubt. And I was actually just doing a little bit of comparative statistics in the last few years. And, if you look at it, there's always been, at least on this team, two guys that just pretty much suck up the majority of the points. It's Crosby and Malkin.
Yeah.
And then you have Stahl that kind of trails behind, and Kunitz, does his thing as well. And then you just kind of guy, just you really get a big drop off after the two top guys. And in this case, you have Malkin with 33 goals, you have Neal with 30, you have Stahl with 19, you have Kunitz with 60. And then after that, you kind of have a drop off. Kunitz, I should say, Duke Pui was 13, and Sullivan and Cook both with 11. Beyond that, I guess that's really the concern, because I think that everybody I named is going to be a factor goal wise. But I think, really after that, Letang's not really your goal scorer, though, despite having 8 goals this year. Obviously, Tyler Kennedy, you really don't know what's what's actually going to happen with him. But yeah, you'd like to see a little bit more, you know, maybe from Richard Park and Ashton. I know Ashton's been out, but you know, everybody's had their, it seems like has gone through their little injury bug. But yeah, you'd want that. I mean, I guess it's to some degree, the Penguins are winning, so I don't think that the secondary scoring is necessary, as it, you might find it, you know, in come playoff time or, you know, the time for contention of getting up a little bit higher in the standings. Not that they're certainly not looking to score at all, but I think the pressure's not there, and not sitting on them to do so. There's sort of a reliance on your elite players. But I think that mentality tends to change a little bit as it gets to the playoffs, because goals are everything. I mean, you know, it's how you win games. So.
Yeah, I mean, to add to what you're saying about the other scorers too, I mean, Dupuis scored a lot of those goals early. Same with Cook, although he's contributed a few lately. So, I mean, it might become a bigger concern. You know, the last few games when they've been able to hold puck control in their offensive zone, you know, a lot of that started with the second, third line guys. So, I mean, that's definitely a good sign. You just like to see them convert on those chances down the road as well. But we mentioned it early in the podcast here as we came on that it is almost trade deadline time. And so, obviously, the speculation has begun. If you're one of those people that loves to kind of read the message boards or search hashtags on Twitter, you've probably seen some interesting trade suggestions. Corey, have you come across anything interesting or hilarious yet? I'm not sure if there's been anything that stood out to you.
I saw, I think it was today when I was at work, I saw something about, I think it was Craig Adams for Ryan Malone.
Yeah.
Really?
I think I saw that today. I think it was a joke, but this whole trade thing, I've been kind of on a soapbox about trading Jordan Staal, and just for personal reasons, but I just have a feeling that it's going to be a quiet trade deadline for the Penguins. I think if GMs are people who say, you know, we're always listening, you know, waiting till the deadline, I just have a feeling if somebody would have already offered, you know, something legit and to get the players that they need, to get the points that they need before some, you know, date on the calendar, that I think the move would have already been made. And I think that the way that Shiro's brain works, I just don't think that any offer, unless it's just something ridiculous like a James Neal for two players that aren't really producing right now. I think it's gonna be quiet.
Damien, you seen anything crazy in your initial reactions on what to expect?
You know, the only thing I actually saw from the time that I pretty much peeked my head out and actually looked and saw something, I think it was Penn's Nation, maybe, or maybe it was Mike Colligan or somebody that wrote something about, you know, Brian Allen is, you know, probably an option of getting, you know, that guy, you know, probably for like a fourth round. You know, you're not trading anything except for maybe a prospect at the most, and more likely just a draft pick. My story about Brian Allen is just remembering, time that I actually went and seen the Canes play the Penguins, the first time, I should say. And, I ended up talking with Matt afterwards, and just saying that the guy, he's like, Brian Allen shouldn't even be in the league. He's one of the dirtiest players. So that every time I see Brian Allen's name, I think of that, and I'm just like, I can't imagine what's Cook going to think if the Penguins end up getting this guy. So, but I don't know, exactly what, there's any legitimacy to this. What I think that Shiro's really going to do, I don't think he's going to go crazy. I mean, there's not a whole lot of pieces that the Penguins are missing at the moment. Surely you want to try to bolster it, and, kind of like the you know, the original 2008 Cup run. You know, you saw the, you know, the, he did go out and kind of make a splash and got Hossa at the deadline and, you know, brought him all the way to, you know, there, to the end. So, but, you know, I think, I ultimately think that the splash for the Penguins is really getting back Crosby. I mean, you put Crosby back into this mix and you just, I mean, it couldn't add a better piece to any team at all in the world. So, if he can come back, then really, I mean, you've accomplished everything you need to with the trade deadline. I mean, like I say, you might add a guy like Ryan Allen, who, you know, can block shots, and he's a big body, and he's not only that, but he's also a pest. Obviously, he gets into other people's heads. So, you know, that little pieces like that are what I see maybe happening. I just can't see Chara blowing anything up, but, you know, and that seems to be the consensus on our poll, on our you know, the website as well. I mean, it looks like most people just want to wait for Crosby to come back, and some people are looking maybe to you know, dump some salary or whatever. But I mean, I don't think the Penguins need a forward. I think maybe a defenseman, but for some depth. But other than that, I don't really think there's a whole lot they need, especially if Crosby comes back.
Yeah, to go back on the idea of some crazy trades, this is not Penguins related, but whenever the idea of Patrick Kane for Ryan Miller came across, I thought that was probably one of the stupidest things I've read in years. But, you know,
it's because Buffalo wants Patrick Kane more than anything in the world.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think both of you are right. I don't think there's going to be a lot of things we see from the Penguins themselves. And, you know, obviously Crosby is the bigger piece. You know, and plus there's not a lot to move. I mean, I think there's a chance that you could have seen somebody like Tyler Kennedy get moved as a piece to go along with a draft pick or something, but obviously that's not going to happen now because he's injured. But if you look across the board in the NHL about who is a unrestricted free agent, which is obviously your top targets, you know, there was a report today that if Washington continues to lose, that they could potentially think about trading Semin or Weidman. I don't know how you could trade Semin. She has a close to $7 million cap hit. Weidman could be a possibility. They got beat again tonight pretty firmly. But some of the other names that have kind of circled around, look at Alex Hemsky, who makes about $4 million. Brad Boyes, about $4 million as well. Brian Allen, as you mentioned, I think he's a piece that's probably going to get moved since the Hurricanes decided to go ahead and re-sign Tuomo Ruutu. Andre Kostitsyn's been talked about. Who is a guy that is scoring less than a half a point per game. Alex Kolek. You know, there's really, if you look at the names, is it somebody that you'd really be interested in? I mean, Paul Gostad is a guy that people have talked about, mainly because he wins more faceoffs than anybody in the league, but it seems like Buffalo is kind of talking to him about a new contract. Shane Morrison, Steven Reinprecht, Mike Knubel, or any of these guys at all sounding appealing to you at all, Damien?
I mean, it would be nice to have Gostad, to be honest with you. I mean, isn't he Buffalo's captain?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I remember was it the Cup year, we got somebody else as captain, Mr. Guerin, and certainly he was a winger, but he added a lot to the team, so that would be a... I think if the Penguins had the opportunity, because the face-off circle is an area they struggle pretty mightily on, I think that would be you know, a nice little piece right there. Maybe I don't know where Gostad sits in the ranking lines-wise. I don't know if he's a third or a second or even first line. I think he's probably a second or third line guy, but the Penguins would probably, you know, depending on where Crosby would be and if he came back at all, they, you know, consider to move him in. But yeah, I mean, I saw something about somebody tweeted something about Kostitsyn as well as a possible. Chara is looking at getting. I can't remember which Kostitsyn it is. I don't even think I can say his name right, but Kostitsyn, I guess is how you say it.
Yeah,
Kostitsyn.
I just can't do it. Anyway, that's about it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Corey, any of those names sound good to you, Corey?
All of them. You know, I mean, if you're a hockey fan, I don't see any reason why, you know, you wouldn't want any of those.
guys in your team, especially if they don't want to be on the team that they're on, you know, for some of them, and for some of them who want to really win a cup, and the Penguins, you know, they can, the Penguins, like any, if you're one of any of the eight from, you know, the, you know, in the conference for the playoffs, I mean, anybody can make a run. We've seen that before. So it's, I don't think anything's going to happen for the Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dark horse is going to be, we'll say, Tangredi for, Kostitsyn.
Tangredi. Yeah, he's probably the only one that I think that there's a possibility that the Penguins would shop. Actually,
somebody will think that he's the next Malkin. That he's just, he's not in the right system or something like that. And then, you know, we get another James Neal type trade.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you never know. There might be some takers out there. You know, one person I've kind of looked at who I expect to get moved just because he plays for Montreal is Travis Moen. And I don't know if that'd be somebody that Chera would look at. I mean, I don't know that he necessarily fits into the Bylsma system in any way. You know, another interesting person would be Daniel Winnick from Colorado, who's 26 years old, makes under $1 million a year. And even Moen is, I think, is only about $1.5 million cap hit. So, you know, both of those guys could be somebody of interest, just because the cap hit wouldn't be too bad. I don't think you'd have to send too much off to get them. You know, I think there's going to be some movement around the league. I just don't know that the Penguins are really going to be a part of that, you know, in a large scale in any way. And speaking of which, obviously, the big fish, if you will, in many different ways would be Mr. Nash in Columbus. So Rick Nash on the market. Looks like there's a few teams kind of interested in him. If you listen to TSN, the Rangers are the front runner. So hypothetically, Corey, if the Rangers get Steve Nash, does that make them even more of the favorite, or is that, how does that sit with you?
It's kind of scary, actually. Everybody knows what Nash is capable of. It's just, you know, he's on a garbage team, you know, for a garbage organization. I think if he gets on a winning team and gets what he wants, chances of him, you know, pushing a team over the edge and making them, you know, a real threat in the playoffs, I think it's just inevitable. I think he's actually going to move, you know, by the deadline, and chances are whoever he ends up with, which is going to be, you know, one of those three top-tier teams, you know, I think you make whoever he goes to the leading Stanley Cup champion front-runner.
Yeah, what do you think, Damien?
Well, I'm going to say what everybody is thinking right now. Did Doug just say Steve Nash? Yes, you did, Doug. And that's okay, because I love the fact that you said that.
Yeah, I said it the first time, and then the second time I said Rick. I did say Steve the first time.
I was wondering if you were going to check that, but it's, I love it. But nevertheless, speaking of Rick Nash.
Can you guess Steve Nash on skates? He's Canadian. He's Canadian, but...
Listen, I did say Rick the second time, but yes, you caught me. You caught me.
That's okay. I was happy. I mean, if nobody else, I'd want you to say that.
Yeah.
He does have a face for hockey, I'll say that.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
I love him. Anyway, Rick Nash, the whole thing with him kind of reminds me of Hossa a couple of years back. You know, I mean, you have one of the top producing players on a team that's just, you know, that obviously is not going anywhere, and eventually went somewhere. It was Winnipeg, but you know, he it's interesting to see. You know, if he does, let's just say this, if he ends up in the Rangers, there's going to be problems in the East, even more so. I mean, there's problems in the East for the Penguins right now, but that's a big ticket right there, and that's going to be really difficult to stop. I don't know if I guess he would fit into Tortorella's system pretty handily, but you never know. I mean, he may have a really difficult time, and that's all you can hope for if he goes there, if you're any other fan in hockey, really. So, you know, I suppose he's going to go somewhere. I think I agree with Corey. He's going to go somewhere. And it's just who's willing to kind of pay that price and who thinks he's, you know, he's got more to offer their team. I mean, you know, you got a team like the Rangers that they want to do something because, you know, I mean, they're kind of a mediocre team the last few years, and now they got some, you know, they got Richards and they got Gabbert, who's finally healthy. So they're looking at just being like, you know what, let's just do this now. I mean, you make these adjustments and you make these big risks when you know you're on top and you know that, hey, if I can add this guy and finally get a cup. I mean, that the ultimate idea is to get the cup. So you make those moves. So you know he's going to go somewhere. He's going to go to a top team, and it'll be interesting to see which team is willing to give up that much. Because I think you know, it's at the basketball comparison I'll give is kind of like Dwight Howard in basketball. You see him, and I think Orlando wants to get rid of him. They know the situation they're in as well, and they're just going to hold out until someone gives them, you know, like Nuggets did with. Carmelo Anthony just held out until they got half of New York, and they ended up getting half of New York for it. So I think Columbus might do the same thing. You know, they want to move him, but you know, they've probably gotten a lot of offers, and they're like, you know what? No, give us more. They want to rebuild, and we want to make their team better as well. And if they're going to give their top guy away, you're going to give him away for, you know, the best offer on the table, and you'll hold out if you have to.
Yeah, I think Scott Housen has a little bit more to prove, though. You know, today he sent Antoine Vermette from Columbus to Phoenix. Got a goaltender and a couple of picks for him. You know, I don't think that looked too favorable for him, but if you want to get rid of Vermette, then so be it. I think it was a good move for Phoenix. But you're right. I mean, Columbus needs to ask for pretty much everything. I mean, there's been a bunch of names floated around that the Rangers are going to potentially ship off to Columbus, and one of them I saw... One of the, you know, many reports, it had Brandon Dubinsky included, and to me that would seem like part of your heart and soul being shipped off, and I can't see the Rangers doing that. You know, I mean, secretly I'm hoping that he'll end up in San Jose. I think he fits better in San Jose personally, but I think they're probably the long shot in this whole deal. So we'll see where he ends up. But let's run through some rapid fire, gentlemen. I will give you a name. And you tell me simply yes or no, does this person get traded, all right?
Wow.
Ready?
Rapid fire, go.
Alexander Semin.
No.
No? Okay. No. You can both answer at the same time, I don't really care. Ryan Smith in Edmonton.
No.
Yeah, he likes Edmonton a lot. Zach Parise in New Jersey.
Maybe, no. Is that maybe?
Yeah, there you go. Christian Eustalius in Columbus.
Yes.
Okay. Unanimous voice pick there. Brad Boyce, Buffalo.
No.
No. Yeah, he's. I think he likes it in Buffalo too. Dennis Wiedemann from Washington.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I tend to agree with both of you on that one. Barrett Jackman, St. Louis.
No.
They're on a pretty good run.
They are. So I'm saying no, too.
You're saying no, too. All right. A couple more for you guys. Andre Kostitsyn from Montreal.
Kostitsyn.
There it is. Yes.
Yes, sure.
Kostitsyn.
All right. How about Samuel Paulson from Columbus? Yeah, they're gonna ship out the whole town there. And finally, we will end on a former Penguin, Mark Eaton, traded or not traded?
Yes,
sure. I didn't know he wanted to be traded.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's
I guess he's an Islander, right? So everybody wants to get off the island.
Yeah, well, he's unrestricted, so I guess that there, you know, that's he's always a possibility since he's unrestricted. But
right.
Who knows? Could be.
He's kind of solid too. I mean, he's not a bad player, and I think a team could use a little extra depth in that note. And what does the Islanders actually? You know, they know he's not coming back.
Yeah, well, that and you know, I mean, I think he's a lot better when the people around him are a lot better. I mean, he knows how to fit into where the role he needs to, and right. In the Islanders, he has to kind of do a little bit more than he might be capable of, but nevertheless. So we will see on Monday how that all shakes out, and then the stretch run for the playoffs begins. So as it sits right now, the Penguins are trailing the Rangers, the Devils, tied with the Flyers in the division alone. So after this all shakes out, just between those four teams, Damian, where do you see this finishing out?
Ah, man, you know, why would I like to see the Penguins get a little bit higher in standings? It's first of all, it's weird seeing Florida at three right now. If you actually like the standings,
yeah,
weird seeing them at three, even though they only have 65 points, and Winnipeg, who's out of it, has 65 points. So that's all over the place. But you know, I'd like to. Heck, the fourth and fifth spot is perfectly fine for me, but I think it would be difficult to see the Penguins go the first round against like Philly. You know, I mean, that right out the gate, you're looking at, you know, basically a very hot team. But it would be nice to knock Yager right out the bat. So that would be pretty sweet too. So. But I think I don't see the Rangers slumping too much. You know, I think they're going to keep it going. I think Boston's playing well, although they've lost two of the last couple games. And New Jersey is coming on strong. So it's strangely, you got a team like Ottawa who could surprise. You know, if they end up sneaking into a seventh or eighth spot, they could surprise one of those top teams. So I don't know. I think the Penguins are going to end up fourth or fifth. That's just my gut.
What do you think, Corey?
I'd almost like for them to stay where they're at in sixth, and then I'd like Winnipeg to jump Florida, so we have a Pittsburgh-Winnipeg opening round, and just, you know, sweep them at four, and then you just figure that two of the three other Atlantic Division teams are going to end up in the 4-5. Just let them beat one another up. You know, just let the cards fall where they may, and then I'd actually like our odds going up against one of the Southeast Division teams in the opening round.
Yeah, you know, I think that'd be a pretty favorable matchup. You know, obviously that eighth spot's going to be pretty interesting with Toronto, Winnipeg, Washington, Tampa, kind of all in the mix. You would kind of probably excuse Buffalo, Islanders, Montreal, Carolina. They're probably out of the discussion right now, although you never know. I mean, the way Toronto's playing, the goaltending play in Toronto currently is pretty weak. So, you know, personally, between those four teams just within the Atlantic Division, I honestly think the Penguins will finish third out of the four. I think the Rangers are just going to pretty much waltz away with the Eastern Division eventually. You know, they're pretty much close to doing that now. Still surprised by New Jersey, to be honest with you. They've won four straight now. You know, showing a lot of heart for sure. Same with Ottawa. So we'll see how that shakes out. But just to take a quick glimpse over in the Western Conference, you kind of have Phoenix, Los Angeles, Calgary, Dallas, Colorado, Minnesota, Anaheim, kind of all fighting for that last spot, for the last two spots. You guys have a feel for which two teams you think will make it into the West? Any, Damien, Corey, anybody have any thoughts on that?
I think, you know, I don't think Calgary's going to end up there. I don't have a good feeling about Calgary at all. I tend to think we might actually see Dallas or Colorado kind of come up, but I think the Coyotes will make it in. But I tend to think that Dallas or Colorado are better teams than Calgary, and I just don't like what I've seen from them this year. I mean, you know, that's my opinion on them, and I don't think that they're going to make it. You know, we'll have to see how Los Angeles is not playing good hockey lately either. So, you know, you never know what trades people could make towards the end, and people you don't really typically see a lot of big trades for those seven, eight teams that are trying to muster their way in. But you know, you never know. I mean, some teams are better than what their record indicates that they are.
What do you think, Corey?
Well, I hope that the Kings, you know, pick it up a little bit, since I had them and the Penguins in the Stanley Cup Finals. I think Mike Yeo is going to get the Wild turned around, and I think they're going to slip into that eighth spot. You know, they're 5 points out right now. and well, from tying. And yeah, I think Calgary, I don't know. Again, Les should have gotten out. He should get out. He should just retire.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it's really sad with Calgary. But yeah, I think, you know, if Minnesota makes it, I don't know. I guess maybe Phoenix trails off, because then the Kings, you know, still keep my Stanley Cup final hopes alive. But yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I have no faith in the Kings. I may have talked about this before, but I have Jonathan Quick on my fantasy team, and I needed him to perform well this past Sunday to win the week's matchup, and of course he did. But unfortunately, his team could not score a goal. They average about 2 goals per game, have the lowest amount of goals scored in the entire league this entire year, with Minnesota trailing only by 3, but nevertheless, I don't have any faith because they can't score, and so I'm going to say Phoenix and Dallas make it in as well. You know, Phoenix is kind of just a grinder team, and unfortunately, they'll probably get swept in the first round, but nevertheless, that's where I see it going as well. So, yeah, no faith in Jonathan Quick at all. And I must say that my 3 goalies for my fantasy team have given up in 3 games this week. They've given up 8 goals, so not off to a hot start this week at all, I'll say. So, real quick, Corey, are you sticking with the Pittsburgh-LA Stanley Cup, or are you going to switch?
I'm going to fall on the sword and just stick with it for now. we'll reevaluate, I guess, here in a couple of weeks, maybe. But yeah, 3-5-2 over your last 10 games for the Kings, not going to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Damien, you got your Stanley Cup prediction in hand, or where are you standing?
I don't, and I can't even remember what I had, to be honest. But I can tell you this right now, Detroit is just... Man, they are just a powerhouse, dude. They just win, man. That's what they do, and they're I mean, we talk about the Rangers so much because we're in the East. I mean, and obviously the Detroit's in the headlines for being you know, winning all those games at home in a row. But it's one of the most well-oiled teams that you see in hockey in general. And I mean, I remember saying last year you can never count Detroit out. Now, obviously, we hate them and they're rivals to us, but at the same time. You know, they're just a good team. I mean, you can't falter them. We'll see how well they play without Datsyuk next few games. But the scouting in Detroit is just unbelievable, and they're a quality team. And I wouldn't be surprised if they raise the cup again this year. And I hate to say it, but they're just—it's one of those teams that you got to appreciate as a hockey fan. You hate as a Penguin fan, but you got to appreciate it as a hockey fan.
Yeah, and they have about $4.7 million under the cap, so they could actually make some moves at the trade deadline and add some pieces, which is a scary thought. You know, I'll stick with my San Jose Rangers prediction. Although, I'll be honest with you, I haven't followed San Jose well enough to know for sure. You know, they've lost 3 in a row, but...
4.
Yeah, so unfortunately, that's not looking too good at the moment. But nevertheless, just so Corey knows as well, the Kings are losing 4-0 to Colorado as we speak.
That's not good.
No.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad.
So I think, you know, given obviously the way the Pens have been playing, it would be a mistake for us not to talk a little bit about Marc-Andre Fleury tying the... shutout record set by Tom Barrasso, also again winning 30 games for the 4th consecutive year, at least 30 games. Thoughts, comments, concerns with Fleury, if there are any. Damien, where do you sit with Marc-Andre?
He's playing extremely consistent, and I think that the haters, or the blamers, I should say more like the blamers than the haters, because, you know, it's just so easy to blame the goalie for the losses in the game and stuff like that. But never mind the defense and how they're doing and shelling out in front of them. But he's playing some extremely consistent hockey. He's on a, you know, he's been, granted he's a man who loves to give up a little softy here and there. But I've seen a lot less of that this year, and I'm so happy to see him getting the success he is. I just wish that he would get a little bit more attention from the fans, because these blamers just they're quick to blame him, but they're not quick to praise him when he does his job and does it really well. So he has his moments of stardom when he'll have a goal, save a goal that'll be standing on his head. But people don't look at the consistency that he's had this year, and I mean, we can't say at all the same thing about Brent Johnson, his backup role this year. But Marc-Andre Fleury has been quite consistent, and I think that needs to be recognized for sure.
What do you think, Corey?
Yeah, I'm still concerned about the minutes that Fleury's putting on this year. It's one of those things where he's already on pace for a career high, and I don't know. You wonder how long he's gonna last and keep it up, depending just how deep they go into the playoffs. But Johnson needed to be better this year, and Flowers had to come in, and once Johnson's gotten the hook, way too many times this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's rest that any goalie needs during an 82 game season and the playoffs. So I hope it doesn't come back and bite the Pens. But if Fleury starts letting in a lot of goals later in the year and into the playoffs, I think that's something that you're going to look at, is Johnson not pulling his weight as a backup.
Yeah, and I know that I've kind of blocked out all those Fleury haters that you've talked about, Damien. I think I've done a pretty good job of sorting through my Twitter so that I don't even ever see those people, and I'm glad. I think it's hard to blame somebody, especially when there's lapses by the defenseman that cause a lot of those goals. Englund's been playing well, but he did slip and fall right in front of the net the other day and pretty much create a really easy chance, so... if anybody would come out and say anything about Fleury on that kind of play, then they're obviously not knowledgeable enough to say anything. But he's played a really good year so far, and you hope that it remains consistent. He does make some unconventional saves. He does let some weird ones in, but I think he's more of a hero to this team than a lot of people give him credit for, and people should be glad that he's their goalie. I mean, you look across the league, there's a lot worse, so I need to take off those glasses that only focus on the Penguins to actually analyze how well Fleury has played this year. So hopefully people will start to do that. But we come to a close on a podcast that was long time coming. How did it feel, Corey? Feeling good to be back?
I feel like I've just been baptized.
That's a hell of an emotion there.
It's a beautiful thing.
What about you, Damien? Feeling good?
I'll say that.
we'll give you a moment, Damien. Tell everybody where that just came from.
That'd be, I have to, right?
Yeah.
This is perfect timing. That came from the wonderful Mike Lang soundboard app. Developed by Kevin Konikoski, and he has done an excellent job at putting that together and putting it together for Penn's Universe. And we had an explosion of downloads for the first day, well over 100, and I think we're up in the 200-300s at this point for Android alone. And pretty soon, I just got the word that it's with Apple right now, so hopefully the iPhone app will be out soon, and it's even coming to BlackBerry as well. So it's a fun tool, and I waited for it, and I didn't care if I was the only person that actually had it after we talked about developing it, and it's quite fun. So I hope everybody else likes it. It looks like everybody else has gotten some good feedback, given us some good feedback with it, so it's good to have it. Hopefully everybody enjoys it.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool thing, so make sure you go check that out. So obviously following the standard timeline, got up on Android real quick. Apple takes more time. BlackBerry takes an eternity. So it'll be there eventually. We promise. But Hopefully we'll be back with you next week. Obviously everyone's been getting busy, but I think before we go, I'd also like to say thank you to Marion Myers for being the most consistent writer on PensUniverse.com. So we thank you for your blue line beat. That is definitely a standard thing, and we will continue to try to put quality posts up there for you all to read. We appreciate you listening to us on the podcast. If you have any questions, we have an email address. It's podcast@pensuniverse.com. Obviously, the Facebook, the Twitter. We're all over the place. For Corey, for Damien, I'm Doug. We'll talk to you next week.